Chapter 10. There seemed a great deal of noise and many people in the entry. From the drawing room it sounded as though several people had already come in, and more were still coming. Several voices were talking and shouting at once. There was shouting and talking on the staircase also. The door opening on it had evidently not been closed. The visit seemed to be a very strange one. They all looked at each other. Ganya rushed into the dining room, but several visitors had already entered it.
"Ah, here he is, the Judas!" cried a voice that Mishkin knew. "How are you, Ganya, you scoundrel?" "Here he is! Here he is himself!" another voice chimed in.
Mishkin could not be mistaken. The first voice was Rogozhin's, the second Lebedev's. Ganya stood petrified and gazing at them in silence in the doorway from the drawing-room, not hindering 10 or 12 persons from following Parfion Rogozhin into the dining-room. The party was an exceedingly mixed one, and not only incongruous but disorderly. Some of them walked in as they were, in their overcoats and furs. None was quite drunk, however, though they all seemed extremely exhilarated. They seemed to need each other's moral support to enter. Not one would have had the effrontery to enter alone, but they all seemed to push one another in. Even Rogozhin walked diffidently at the head of the party, but he had some intention, and he seemed in a state of gloomy and irritated preoccupation. The others only made a chorus or band of supporters. Besides Lebedev, there was Zalyushev, who had flung off his overcoat in the entry and walked in swaggering and jaunty with his hair curled. There were two or three more of the same sort, evidently young merchants. A man in a semi-military greatcoat, a very fat little man who kept laughing continually, an immense man over 6 feet, also very stout, extremely taciturn and morose, who evidently put his faith in his fists. There was a medical student and a little Pole who had somehow attached himself to the party. Two unknown ladies peeped in at the front door but did not venture to come in. Kolya slammed the door in their faces and latched it.
"How are you, Ganya, you scoundrel?" "You didn't expect Parfion Rogozhin, did you?"
repeated Rogozhin, going to the drawing-room door and facing Ganya. But at that moment he caught sight of Nastasya Philipovna, who sat facing him in the drawing-room. Evidently nothing was further from his thoughts than meeting her here, for the sight of her had an extraordinary effect on him. He turned so pale that his lips went blue.
"Then it's true,"
he said quietly, as though to himself, looking absolutely distracted.
"It's the end." "Well, you shall pay for it," he snarled, suddenly looking with extreme fury at Ganya. "Well..."
He gasped for breath. He could hardly speak. Mechanically he moved into the drawing-room, but as he went in he suddenly saw Nina Alexandrovna and Varya and stopped somewhat embarrassed in spite of his emotion. After him came Lebedev, who followed him about like a shadow and was very drunk. Then the student, the gentleman with the fists, Salyushev, bowing to right and left, and last of all the little fat man squeezed himself in. The presence of the ladies was still a check on them, and it was evidently an unwelcome constraint, which would, of course, have broken down if they had once been set off, if some pretext for shouting and beginning a row had arisen. Then all the ladies in the world would not have hindered them.
"What? You here too, Prince?"
Rogozhin said absently, somewhat surprised at meeting Mishkin.
"Still in your gaiters?"
"Ech," he sighed, forgetting Mushkin's existence and looking towards Nastasya Philipovna again, moving closer to her, as though drawn by a magnet. Nastasya Philipovna, too, looked with uneasy curiosity at the visitors. Ganya recovered himself at last.
"But allow me. What does this mean?"
he began in a loud voice, looking severely at the newcomers and addressing himself principally to Rogozhin.
"This isn't a stable, gentlemen. My mother and sister are here." "We see your mother and sister are here," muttered Rogozhin through his teeth. "That can be seen, that your mother and sister are here."
Lebedev felt called upon to second the statement. The gentleman with the fists, feeling no doubt that the moment had arrived, began growling something.
"But upon my word!" cried Ganya, suddenly exploding and raising his voice immoderately. "First, I beg you all to go into the dining-room, and secondly, kindly let me know—" "Fancy! He doesn't know," said Rogozhin with an angry grin, not budging from where he stood. Don't you know Rogojin? Well, I've certainly met you somewhere, but met me somewhere. Why, I lost 200 rubles of my father's money to you 3 months ago. The old man died without finding it out. You enticed me into it, and niff-cheated. Don't you recognize me? Titsin was a witness of it. If I were to show you 3 rubles out of my pocket, you'd crawl on all fours to Vasilyevsky for it. That's the sort of chap you are. That's the sort of soul you've got. And I've come here now to buy you for money. Never mind my having come with such boots on. I've got a lot of money now, brother. I can buy the whole of you, and your livestock too. I can buy you all up if I like. I'll buy up everything.
Rogojin grew more and more excited and seemed more and more drunk.
Ach, he cried. Nastasia Philipovna, don't turn me away. Tell me one thing. Are you going to marry him or not?
Rogojin put this question desperately, as though appealing to a deity, but with the courage of a man condemned to death who has nothing to lose. In deadly anguish he awaited her reply. With haughty and sarcastic eyes, Nastasia Philipovna looked him up and down. But she glanced at Varya and Nina Alexandrovna, looked at Ganya, and suddenly changed her tone.
"Certainly not. What's the matter with you? And what has put it into your head to ask such a question?"
she answered quietly and gravely, and as it seemed with some surprise.
"No! No!"
cried Rogojin, almost frantic with delight.
"Then you are not! But they told me... Ah, Nastasia Philipovna, they say that you are engaged to Ganya. To him! As though that were possible! I told them all it was impossible. I can buy him up for 100 rubles. If I were to give him 1,000, 3,000 to retire, he would run off on his wedding day and leave his bride to me. That's right, isn't it, Ganya, you scoundrel? You'd take the 3,000, wouldn't you? Well, here's the money. Here, you have it. I came to get you to sign the agreement to do it. I said I'll buy him off, and I will buy him off. Get out of the room, you are drunk!
Cried Ganya, who had been flushing and growing pale by turns. His outburst was followed by a sudden explosion from several persons at once. The whole crew of Rogojin's followers were only awaiting the signal for battle. With intense solicitude, Lebedev was whispering something in Rogojin's ear.
Well, that's true, Clach, answered Rogojin. True, you drunken soul. Ugh, here goes. Nastasia Philipovna, he cried,
gazing at her like a maniac, passing from timidity to the extreme of audacity.
Here are 18,000 rubles.
And he tossed on the table before her a roll of notes wrapped in white paper and tied with string.
There. And there's more to come.
He did not venture to say what he wanted.
No, no, no,
Lebedev whispered to him with an air of dismay. It could be divined that he was horrified at the magnitude of the sum and was urging him to try his luck with a much smaller one.
No, brother, you are a fool. You don't know how to behave here, and it seems as though I am a fool like you.
Rogojin started and checked himself as he met the flashing eyes of Nastasia Philipovna.
Ugh, I've made a mess of it listening to you, he added with intense regret.
Nastasia Philipovna suddenly laughed as she looked at Rogojin's downcast face.
18,000 to me. Ah, one can see he is a peasant, she added with insolent familiarity,
and she got up from the sofa as though to go away. Ganya had watched the whole scene with a sinking heart.
40,000, then! 40, not 18,
cried Rogojin.
Titsin and Biska promised to get me 40,000 by 7 o'clock. 40,000! Cash down!
The scene had become scandalous in the extreme, but Nastasia Philipovna stayed on, and still went on laughing, as though she were intentionally prolonging it. Nina Alexandrovna and Varya had also risen from their places, and waited in silent dismay to see how much further it would go. Varya's eyes glittered, but the effect of it all on Nina Alexandrovna was painful. She trembled and seemed on the point of fainting.
100, then! If that's it, I'll give you 100,000 today. Titsin lend it me. It'll be worth your while.
You are mad,
Tetsin whispered suddenly, going out to him quickly and taking him by the hand.
You are mad! They'll send for the police! Where are you?
He is drunk and boasting,
said Nastasia Philipovna, as though taunting him.
I'm not boasting! I'll get the money before evening. Tetsin, lend it me, you money grubber. Ask what you like for it. Get me 100,000 this evening. I'll show that I won't stick at anything.
Rogozhin was in an ecstasy of excitement.
What is the meaning of this, pray?
Ardalion Alexandrovich, deeply stirred, suddenly cried, in a menacing voice, going up to Rogozhin. The suddenness of the old man's outburst, after his complete silence till that moment, made it very comic. There was laughter.
Whom have we here? Laughed Rogozhin. Come along, old fellow. We'll make you drunk.
This is too disgusting, cried Kolya, shedding tears of shame and vexation.
Is there no one among you who will take this shameless woman away?
Exclaimed Varya, quivering all over with anger.
They call me a shameless woman,
Nastasia Philipovna answered back with contemptuous gaiety.
And I came like a fool to invite them to my party this evening. That's how your sister treats me, Gavriil Ardalionovitch.
For some time, Ganya stood as though thunderstruck at his sister's outburst. But seeing that Nastasia Philipovna really was going this time, he rushed frantically at Varya and seized her arm in a fury.
What have you done?
He cried, looking at her, as though he would have withered her on the spot. He was utterly beside himself and hardly knew what he was doing.
What have I done? Where are you dragging me? Is it to beg her pardon for having insulted your mother and for having come here to disgrace your family, you base creature?
Varya cried again, looking with triumphant defiance at her brother. For an instant they stood so, facing one another. Ganya still kept hold of her arm. Twice Varya tried with all her might to pull herself free, but suddenly, losing all self-control, she spat in her brother's face.
What a girl! Cried Nastasia Philipovna. Bravo! Tetsin, I congratulate you.
Everything danced before Ganya's eyes, and, completely forgetting himself, he struck at his sister with all his might. He would have hit her on the face, but suddenly another hand caught Ganya's. Mushkin stood between him and his sister.
Don't.
That's enough, he brought out insistently, though he was shaking all over with violent emotion.
Are you always going to get in my way?
Roared Ganya. He let go Varya's arm, and, mad with rage, gave Mushkin a violent slap in the face with the hand thus freed.
Ah!
Cried Kolya, clasping his hands.
My God!
Exclamations were heard on all sides. Mushkin turned pale. He looked Ganya straight in the face with strange and reproachful eyes. His lips quivered, trying to articulate something. They were twisted into a sort of strange and utterly incongruous smile.
Well, you may. But her, I won't let you, he said softly at last.
But suddenly he broke down, left Ganya, hid his face in his hands, moved away to a corner, stood with his face to the wall, and in a breaking voice said,
Oh, how ashamed you will be of what you've done.
Ganya did, indeed, stand looking utterly crushed. Kolya rushed to hug and kiss Mushkin. He was followed by Rogozhin, Varya, Tetsin, Nina Alexandrovna, all the party, even the general, who all crowded about Mushkin.
Never mind.
Never mind, muttered Mushkin in all directions, still with the same incongruous smile.
And he will regret it, cried Rogozhin. You will be ashamed, Ganya, that you have insulted such a... sheep.
He could not find another word.
Prince, darling, drop them. Curse them and come along. I'll show you what a friend Rogozhin can be.
Nastasia Philipovna, too, was very much impressed by Ganya's action and Mushkin's answer. Her usually pale and melancholy face, which had seemed all along so out of keeping with her affected laughter, was evidently stirred by a new feeling. Yet she still seemed unwilling to betray it, and to be trying to maintain a sarcastic expression.
I certainly have seen his face somewhere,
she said, speaking quite earnestly now, suddenly recalling her former question.
Aren't you ashamed? Surely you are not what you are pretending to be now. It isn't possible,
cried Mushkin suddenly, with deep and heartfelt reproach. Nastasia Philipovna was surprised, and smiled, seeming to hide something under her smile.
She looked at Ganya, rather confused, and walked out of the drawing room. But before reaching the entry, she turned sharply, went quickly up to Nina Alexandrovna, took her hand and raised it to her lips.
"I really am not like this. He is right," she said in a rapid, eager whisper, flushing hotly.
And turning around, she walked out so quickly that no one had time to realize what she had come back for. All that was seen was that she whispered something to Nina Alexandrovna and seemed to have kissed her hand. But Varya saw and heard it all and watched her go out, wondering. Ganya recovered himself and rushed to see Nastasya Philipovna out, but she'd already gone. He overtook her on the stairs.
"Don't come with me!" she cried to him. "Goodbye till this evening. You must come. Do you hear?"
He returned, confused and dejected. A painful uncertainty weighed on his heart, more bitter than ever now. The figure of Mushkin, too, haunted him. He was so absorbed that he scarcely noticed Rogozhin's crew passing him and shoving against him in the doorway as they hurried by on their way out of the flat. They were all loudly discussing something. Rogozhin walked with Titsin, talking of something important and apparently urgent.
"You've lost the game, Ganya!"
he cried as he passed him. Ganya looked after him uneasily.